Hello, and welcome back to the Lee's Summit Town Hall podcast. I am your host, Nick Parker. Turns out I was wrong. Liesl Hayes, she's out again this week, folks. Not sure what's going on. I think she's avoiding me. It's probably true. It happens. Just a reminder, the Lee's Summit Town Hall podcast is brought to the good people by Budget Blinds of Lee's Summit. Budget Blinds is your home for smart homes and your home for those signature series shades. Look, if you are ready, you want to go see some awesome people, you want to get those robot shades, you want to get those things that you can control with your phone or your Alexa device or whatever, you know, look, just things to make your life a little easier and your home a little more beautiful. These are the people that can connect you. They are awesome local people running a local store here to help and to serve you for all your home decorating needs. Go down to Budget Blinds of Lee's Summit, right in the heart of our downtown area. Tell them Liesl and Nick sent you. Joining us this week is Steve Arbo, now the, do you still like hearing this, former city manager of Lee's Summit, Missouri.
I consider myself a PIP, which is a previously important person.
I like that. I wish there was a way we could put an M in there and call you a PIP.
Well, I probably, I haven't been that.
22 years at City Hall, and actually that would be like, you know, before there was the big giant City Hall even, you would predate that. 22 years in Lee's Summit, and the last 19 or 20 as city manager, because you came in as an assistant city manager.
That's right, yeah. Officially 14 years as city manager, but there was an interim stint of a year and a half or 2 years while they were searching before we decided that I wanted to be the city manager. So
now I don't want to get into that, but that my curious brain is like, how was it being a city manager for being an interim city manager, not city manager for a year or two? I'm like, that, I can't imagine, as hard as I think it would be to get things done as a real, as a, you know, full-time actual city manager, but then to do it on an interim basis, seems like it would be even harder.
Actually, what happens is that they have no choice but to work with you because there's no one else to fall back on.
So it didn't really, no. The title part didn't really stop the things from moving?
I just, you know, it was kind of, well, it's one of those situations. As a city manager, you are truly an at-will employee, which basically means if there's a majority of the council that doesn't think that you're doing the work that they want to be done, for the most part, if the mayor agrees, they can just fire you, you know, end of story. Well, an assistant city manager is protected. And so there I was fulfilling city manager role as an acting city manager. And the worst thing they could do is just put me back down to my assistant city manager position.
Get demoted.
So I kind of, you know, in a weird way, it was okay. I don't think I would want it on a permanent basis, but it worked pretty well for me because I went ahead and drove the car like I owned it. And if they didn't like it, I always said, well, you can always just put me back down to the assistant city manager because that's a nice place, you know, and you can find somebody else. I wasn't quite that cocky, but it was always in the background that they're, you know, they needed to work with me a bit or else I would just go back to my other work.
Now, before I go to my next thing, I think that is a good reminder for people too. Just, I'm nerd. I like the process side of things. The city manager is actually the one employee that the council hires, that the city council hires. Everybody else, the decision is made from the top down from the city manager, right?
Well, government nerd, no.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. The city attorney as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, the city attorney and the city manager. And the prosecuting attorney as well is appointed by the city council.
Well, there we go. Lessons learned.
There you go.
For everybody.
I think that everybody who would be listening to this podcast is now soundly asleep.
Well, we're going to get into, because really what I want to talk to you about is life now after 22 years of government work. But I do want to ask one last question because you brought it up. You made the joke and, well, I wasn't that cocky then. I'm curious, do you think you were a little bit more cocky as a young government administrator or when you got older? I mean, like, when did you really feel yourself and your ability to do things Do you think, was that earlier or later in your career? I feel like I was cockier as a young person than I am now.
No, because I had the worry of making house payments and knowing that there would be financial ruin. And actually, I have been fired. I've been fired as a city administrator. I was fired from the city of Liberty. And to answer your question, after that, I had a higher level of self-confidence because I came through that chapter of being let go and needing to find my new future. And so I will say maybe it's not age, but maybe it's just, getting hit and then picking yourself up off the ground and finding that you can survive after getting hit, you know? So I think I came in with a better sense of self-confidence and less fear when I came to Lee Summit.
As a government administrator mm-hmm. in that job, do you feel like you kind of know that getting fired is part of the deal? Like it could happen. I mean, because really, mm-hmm. you are a servant of people of a political nature, right? So
right. So there's that fine balance between how you would like your community to make decisions and how the body politic, the politics of the community wants to make decisions. And I would say, and we're not going to say where I disagreed, but I would say 85% of how this community went, I was aligned with, and there was probably 15% that if it was just up to Steve Arbo, I wouldn't make that decision. I would have made a different one. But they train us as young people in college and stuff that we've been put on this earth to carry out the wishes of the community. It's not my city. It's not a city manager city as far as, you know, but what you're supposed to do is create an environment where the best decisions get made, you know, best, which means, well, good information, those kind of things. So I think at the end of the day, you have to, there are times where you do get fired, Nick, to your question. I jokingly say the only thing that I was successful doing in Liberty was getting the council to unanimously agree that I should be fired.
I love that.
Yeah. But you know, that one, and honestly with Liberty, I really was out of sync with them. And I didn't realize that until I got employed there and started working. And I could just tell that we were not linked up. And so, you know, looking back, gosh, 25 years now from being fired there, I know that was the right thing for everyone involved to happen.
That's interesting. And I feel like we could kind of go this route for a while, but mm-hmm. what I really, really, the main reason I asked you here, even though I know I can't get you to come spill all the dirt of 20 years at City Hall, which would be a lot of fun. But really, I am intrigued and curious about your life now, because as a city manager, I mean, let's face it, there's a small section of town, right, who pays attention to what you do every day, I think. Mm-hmm. While you met and dealt with hundreds and thousands of people over those years, I mean, the average voter and resident doesn't give a lot of attention to the inner workings of City Hall. Mm-hmm. And so it would have been easy to think that Steve Arbo fades away in retirement. But you didn't. Mm. Instead, you've decided, and we have been getting to know each other mm-hmm. over the last year or so as you're working with a bunch of nonprofits around mm-hmm. town. You're out doing things. And I think it's really, really cool. And I'm intrigued by what made you do that? What made you say, you know what, I'm retiring as the boss of City Hall. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go do a bunch of stuff. Just, I'm going to get involved out in the community.
I didn't want to lose the joy that I was finding as being the city manager. And how that happened, the joy that I had in being a city manager was working with people who cared about their community. That was just incredible. And that's probably, I stayed in Lee Summit longer than the average bear would, you know, as a city manager. One, they didn't fire me, and two, I didn't leave. And some of that for me, had to do with being able to work alongside people that weren't getting paid, that had busy lives, had families and stuff, but somehow magically they knew that it was important for them to give their personal time and to have opinions and to be informed and to come to open houses and to be chair of committees and stuff, or even to be involved in Economic Development Council, Chamber of Commerce, those things. And I was like, oh my gosh, these are incredible people. And I want to work alongside them. The other thing I would say real quick, Nick, is that Lee Summit is an unusual community. And I can say that by, I have worked in six different communities in my career. And I've had a total of almost 40 years of work. And so, some of the other communities, when I showed up as our new city administrator or manager, and I'd have an idea, they'd go, okay. And they'd go, what's your last name? I go, Arbo. And they'd open up their history book and they'd start flipping the pages. Arbo, 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 Arbo. No, no, I don't see any Arbo names here. And they just look at me and they say, hey, why don't you just go over to that corner? And when we need you, we'll tell you what to do. And when I came to Lee Summit, I can't tell you the number of people said, you're new here, aren't you? I go, yeah. And they said, you probably have some good ideas. You have some experiences from other communities. And they'd put their arm around my shoulders and say, why don't you come get to work with us? And it's just, that is the, that's what we got going here in Lee Summit. So now I'm a part of that, you know, without getting paid.
The volunteer side might be a little different.
Yeah, it's okay.
But I understand that kind of rewarding feeling.
Yeah, you do.
Of being involved. And that's part of, I told you a little bit ago that it's part of why we started doing this podcast, mm-hmm. was just to kind of talk to people and share with that thing that drives people to get involved and to want to be a part of the community, mm-hmm. whether that's you know, pushing for change, or whether it's just wanting some things to grow or mm-hmm. to shine a spotlight mm-hmm. on something. Were there particular maybe projects or things that pushed you to what you're doing now? And mm-hmm. and let's just go ahead and say it. I mean, you're involved in some arts organizations. Mm-hmm. You're involved with some youth organizations. Mm-hmm. So you're doing some different things. But was there something that, like, a project you worked on or you helped shepherd through the city that you're like, I want to go play with them?
Yeah. So even though you have these guidelines of what a city manager is supposed to do, there's some flex in there. And I would say, I would hope that it's for just about anybody who has a position in their work. There's probably an old saying that you can find joy in your work if you can find a way to do more of what you want to do in your work. And so for me, and you hit it, arts is magical to me, cultural arts and people expressing their thoughts through vision and expression of music and all of those things. The other thing that's important for me, and I have to work on a personal basis, so I'm not telling you that I'm anybody that you should hold up as an example, but is to make sure that we are welcoming to all in this community. And so I've put those two together, arts and a welcoming environment. And I have seen in Lee Summit where people who have different perspectives in their lives, different backgrounds, experiences, I have seen in this community where we can celebrate together through arts. And it breaks down a lot of barriers. And so probably why I have a tendency to go towards those things. And they were the things that I kind of wanted to pick up all the time when I was a city manager, was because that's what I enjoy. So now I get to do it and not have to apologize for it.
What is there a certain type of art that you're drawn to?
Well, on a personal basis, I love jazz. And if I could be reincarnated, I would want to be a Hammond B3 jazz organist. I mean, oh my gosh, I am just in awe of that. And they hit that note and they just hold it there while everything else is going on underneath. And I'm like, It's like, it would be like an eagle flying through the air, just soaring, you know? So there you go. That's what I would do if I could be an artist. Anytime that my wife and I travel, we fill our days with modern art museums and even traditional museums. And actually, we love what the Nelson Atkins is doing because they're not a stodgy European art organization. They really are working on diversity. And I think I've understood more about culture through art than I have in many other ways. So,
I don't think that I knew or realized until I got involved with arts organizations when you and former mayor Randy Rhodes, for some reason, put me on the arts council at the city. When I had applied to be on the Human Relations Commission.
We don't read very well.
I thank you guys for it. It's been cool. It's been great.
Yeah.
But until I got involved with that group, and then you know we've been working on this startup spinoff from that, the Lee Summit Creates. Until I got involved with the arts communities, I didn't realize. The Nelson is considered a pretty big deal in the national, international art world. They have a lot of things that you just don't get anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. No, they're definitely a world community, a world organization. And I got to see that through other people's eyes. I would say the other thing that was fun that I kind of did that wasn't clearly in my job description is that we had a lot of international visitors that would shadow, I don't want to say shadow me, but were in the city administration, especially from some of the Asian areas. We had a lot of young mid-career professionals. And so they would come and I would take them to the Nelson Atkins Museum, and then they were amazed by our Asian collection that we had here, you know.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's really cool. And I remember a story you told me once, and I'm hoping maybe you can relate this story to people because it is stuck in my mind. Of you told a story one time at the old Lee Summit Art Festival, the Summit Art Festival, that there was a student who had a piece on display, and you blew their mind by buying it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they just didn't know what to do. I think she was a junior. I wish her name is on the back of the picture, but it was a beautiful, it was a acrylic of sailboats at Lake Jacoma. And I mean, it could have been anywhere in the world, but it was just the water and the sailboats.
I forgot to tell you the rules.
Why don't you start that? Can I just answer that?
Just
okay.
Keep going.
Okay. So, sure. I'd love to tell that story. They had the student art show as a part of the downtown art festival here. And my wife and I just really liked this acrylic painting that was done probably by a junior in high school. And it was of boats that were on a water, sailboats that were on a water. And I asked the art teacher that was looking over the booth if there was any way of buying that. And she just looked at me really strangely. But what happened was that we got in touch with a young lady who had painted it. And I told her how wonderful it was and I wanted it in my home. And of course she had no idea what she should charge me for it. And we actually had to force her to take, you know, the money that we thought she should take from it. And now it's framed in a plein air frame, and it's part of our pride of our home. And we had her and her mom over to our house so that they could see how meaningful her work is to us. And so it's in our bedroom, and I get to see it every day, and it brings joy to me, especially knowing it was a young life that put that together.
That's awesome. I love that story. And I think I've heard you tell, and this is probably the third or fourth time I've heard you tell that story. It's just, it's really cool to me. And I think it just shows how everybody sees art differently, but how it connects us. And it impacts lives, which is the whole thing why we're talking about all of this, right? About getting involved in things, is it does impact
that is
people's
it.
Lives.
That
it
is
makes
it.
Our community a better place.
Yep. Go to 18th and Vine and listen to some jazz there, and you'll see just predictable white suburban dudes like me, and there'll be some cool cats that don't look like me that are there, and we're all having a good time in that room together, you know, celebrating the joy of music together. And I just think if anything's going to make us a better place, it's going to be us celebrating through art with each other.
This would be a good time. We're going to throw a little plug out because June 22nd is the inaugural Lee Summit Jazz Festival happening in the back lot behind Bridge Space in downtown. And I think you can go to their event page on the Facebooks.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, if you are a jazz fan, that's a pretty impressive list of acts that they got. It's going to run from 12 to 9. The only bad part of it, Steve, is I'm one of the MCs for the day, so you'll have to hear my voice every once in a while.
I think we could do that for the great music.
But it's an impressive list of artists that are going to come, including the Lee Summit Jazz Orchestra, which I love watching that thing get started up. And they're not playing monthly at the 1909 Club above Libations.
Yep. And I have a 27-year-old nephew, and he texted me the other day and he told me he was up there enjoying it. And I thought, this is awesome that, you know, even our young people are getting into this. So,
right.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great sign of where Lee Summit is going. When you can sustain a jazz group, our orchestra is outstanding, you know, and people are blown away when they go to the Lee Summit Symphony Orchestra.
Now 20 years strong.
Yeah. Yeah. 140, musicians. So, Lee Summit is going to have more and more to offer. And I think it's going to make us even a better community as we move on.
From your, this kind of goes backward a little bit, from your perspective so many years on the city side of things, right, the government side of things, how big a role do these play in community growth? Can you quantify that?
I think that they are things that are discovered after someone has already chosen the community. I think that people, and we'll use Lee Summit, I think people choose Lee Summit because primarily because the housing value is good. We have, it's a safe community. They probably look up the crime rate and things like that. And if they're going to be in the public school or the private school, we have great school systems. I think that those things, and the park system. I think they hit those first 3 to 5 factors are kind of like a Consumer Reports guide, you know. And
those are on the pamphlet.
Yeah, you're going to hit those. And then, to answer your question, I think that once they are here, they begin to understand that the community has so much more to offer than great schools and great parks and a safe place to live and stuff. And all of a sudden, there's a greater value. But I frankly don't know that the cultural arts part of a community, except for a few rare individuals, I don't think it's the driving force of growth in the city.
Is that said with the word "yet" hiding behind it, or is that just kind of how things are?
Well,
like, will it become? If we keep growing the things that we're talking about now, we keep growing the symphony presence, the theater presence, all of these things.
Yeah,
and I'm trying not to list everybody because I know I'm going to leave people out, but if we keep growing those things, does that become a driver?
I don't know how much it will come to the consciousness of a person. Has there ever been an experience, even like at a restaurant? You go to a restaurant and you go like, that was really a great restaurant. I'd like to go there again. And it takes you a while to think through, why was that a great restaurant? Was it the server? Was it the food? Was it the atmosphere? Was it the way that you could have a conversation across a table without yelling? You know, all those things. I'm kind of saying that we might be known as a great restaurant someday, you know? And that would be cool if Lee Summit was known as, hey, that is a great community. They really celebrate the arts. It's a great place to experience life. And actually, I think the Lee Summit School District, we've already talked earlier, you were from Blue Springs. I was from Oak Grove in our high school years, many decades apart from each other. But
I wasn't going to bring that up. Yeah, I was going to be nice to you.
That's okay. it's okay being old. There you go. As far as, don't you remember everybody talking about Lee Summit in the performing arts? The high school. I mean, yeah. Lee Summit School was the place for people that wanted to experience to be students in art, this was the place.
I feel like, and like I was the kid who didn't get involved in much in high school, but I feel like there that was kind of a rivalry. Was actually like the choir was really, and the orchestra were really thought of big in Lee's Summit,
right?
And in Blue Springs, we wanted to be
exactly. Exactly. So I think all I'm saying is I do think that arts can make a difference. And Nick, I hope that that it could be a huge attraction for us. But that would be a long ways from where we are right now.
It sounds like maybe, and again, I could be wrong here, and I'm just curious because your perspective from a government side of things. Mm-hmm. That arts maybe aren't the front of the pamphlet that gets you here, but it might be the thing that keeps you here.
100%.
Right? 100%. I moved here to buy a good home with a high value and send my kids to one of the five high schools that are here in Lee's Summit. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to stay because I've got these other things I can either enjoy or be a part of.
Right. See, that's what I'm a cheerleader of Lee's Summit City government. So I'm sorry, that's just who I am. But so I always had a saying that people moved here for the schools, but they stayed here for the city.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
So they knew that things would take, if bad things happened, that we would do our best to take care of them, you know? So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about a little bit the groups that you are involved with right now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you're just a year into your retirement, so you're just starting out in your new life.
Yeah.
Who are you involved with now? Who's grabbed your attention so far in the first few months? Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the board of directors for the Lee's Summit Symphony Orchestra, and that's been a blast. And we've been working on a new strategic plan. As you mentioned, they're 20 years into their history, and we're really evolving from what would be called a founder generation into a different, newer generation, and different, and we celebrate everything that's been done in order to get us to this point, but we're going to go to a new higher level with it. So anyway, I've been involved with that conversation. Prodeo actually I'm on a stipend with them, so I don't want to come off as a volunteer but I would volunteer for them if, don't tell them that, but now that I know them better.
Elaine!
Yeah, but I'll do everything I can for them because it's such a great organization. But they got
That's
me
Prodeo
on.
Prodeo Youth Center.
Prodeo Youth Center. They are focused with creating an exciting, vibrant place for teens to go after school every day. And then they have special Friday night activities for those in high school. And they provide free counseling if the young person is in need of kind of figuring things out, which is pretty tough to be in high school these days. And also they provide free tutoring, and they are just a place where they can feel loved and supported. So I'm all in with that, man. I think that's just incredible.
It is such a great program. And if people don't know Elaine Metcalf, who's the executive director there, they should, because she is an amazing person. Yep.
And she's found amazing volunteers and amazing staff. And I've gotten to meet the kids. They have about 110 people that are registered with them, and they can have 30 to 40 young people at any time every night. So they're making a difference with that.
And I know you said you're not volunteering, that you've contracted with them, but what you're doing is putting your many years of expertise to work to help them get a new facility.
Right.
Because they've been in this, you know, leasing a small facility for years and years and years, and they're finally going to have their own place that's dedicated space to being of service to these youth.
Yep. We'll do two things. We'll secure a physical space that they can always count on being available for their work. I said two things. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, that first one's a pretty big. Yeah. I mean, that's a tall order. I know the site has been, you know, it's now under control.
Yeah. And it's been approved.
And it's been approved. Mm-hmm. And so you're helping them through that process, which is not a small feat.
Yeah. And now what we're involved in 2024, and I'm helping them with the fundraising activity. The total is $4.9 million, and we're at the 30% mark of that. So, and we're We're going to get it done. And I the second thing is basically they can then have up to, say, 100 young people at one time in their facility. And right now they're limited to about 40. So there's two.
That's a huge increase.
Yeah, two things. Let's see, what else? I'm involved with this guy named Nick Parker. And the Slee Summit Creates, and he's our fearless leader.
I say fearful.
Fearful leader. But anyway, you know, LS Creates is a group that's focused on promoting art in the Lee Summit community, and we are finding our way of being an advocate. That means that we will help the other arts organizations in being successful here and hopefully in new ways, and help them cross-pollinate with each other. And it's been pretty cool to see how we can fill the voids and find ways to move arts further here. Oh, gosh, Nick, that's
I'm going to go back to Prodeo for a second. Okay. I appreciate you throwing out. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're plugging Lee Summit Creates. Yeah, I'm just the obnoxious guy trying to get it together. But I'm curious about your Prodeo part. Like, how is it interesting for you to be on the other side of shepherding this project?
There are so many jokes that get made because I'm like, what do you mean we have to pay a water tap fee? You know?
Now the fee's bothering.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So all of this, you know, it's like parents that tell their children, you just wait till you have a child and then all of this is going to come back to you. Well, all of these, and it's fine, but all of these great processes that we had put in the city hall while I was there to make sure that there was quality development regarding permits and those kind of things. Well, I will tell you that the architect and the engineers kind of chuckle a bit when I kind of react to what they tell me.
And I would think too that, like, now you're experiencing the, man, government stuff is slow.
Actually, it's been, I don't know, maybe, well, it's been great. I have been impressed. Now that I'm on the other side, I can see that we really do customer service well when it comes to being a developer and trying to get an investment in the city. We do it well.
What are, do you have big dreams for what you want to see happen as you keep being involved with all of these?
I hope, I haven't found a balance, and I know that I've missed a couple of nonprofit groups that, because I'm old, they're not coming into my head, but they're on my calendar. but I'm needing to find, on top of that, I think, Nick, is that I also have a consulting business, and I am doing consulting work for some local governments in their leadership teams. And then I'm also working on writing a kind of a TED Talk, 12-part TED Talk series on for newly elected officials to be successful in their work. So I've got,
do what the city manager says.
No,
right?
No, but be nice to the city manager and fake them into thinking that you like them. And then, you know, it'll be better. So I've got a business, you know, this little consulting business, and I've got about four, clients that I'm, rotating around and trying to keep, happy. And then I've got the nonprofit organizations, and then I have a wonderful marriage of 39 years and soon to go on to 40, and she has retired as well. And so we do world travel. We take one world trip every year. And so when you ask me what are my big dreams, is that I find the right balance between nonprofit work, my consulting business, my personal commitment to my wife, and then also that I grow as a person, that I continue to grow as a person. If I can do those four things all at the same time, that's going to be pretty cool.
You're saying all these things that make you sound like you're a good dude.
I'm not.
And I feel like that's going against a lot of the things that I've heard about you when you were in the government job. And it's just a strange dichotomy now. God.
Yeah, I know. I enjoyed people being angry at me, so it worked out great. No.
Well, I we're going to wrap up here in a little bit, because I do have many, many questions that I would love to ask you. Most of it is because I want to know all the dirt, but I'm just going to keep throwing that out until you give me something. But as we wrap up here, you know, like I said, the reason we really started doing this podcast, when I first launched it with Jason Norberry, and now Liesl Hayes has been my co-host for the last year or so, is to show people how easy it is to get involved in the community and to show what you can accomplish by getting and how it makes. So what's your pitch for a guy who spent, you know, on the bureaucratic side for so long and is now getting involved as a volunteer and a consultant? I mean, look, I think working for these organizations is as important as volunteering. So I don't separate that as much. But, you know, what's your pitch to other people in our community? Mm-hmm.
Well, since I become a private citizen and I'm no longer employed by the city, I have realized how easy it would be to not be engaged and not be involved in anything. It is really easy to do that. I didn't know that. But, I mean, you can just do your thing at home and your work and not even think about the city or the community one iota. So that gives me a whole new higher level of respect of the Nick Parkers and the Liesls of the world and all the other people I work with. So my pitch is that you're missing out on something rewarding, and that is doing something alongside other folks that's going to make the world a better place. And I think I wake up every day with a laundry list of things to do, and I think they're all things that are going to make a difference in somebody else's life. And I can't imagine not having that every day. And so I would say, if you're feeling a little empty and, you know, you feel a little overwhelmed in your life, what better thing than to volunteer when you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, by saying yes to something else, but in an awkward way? I think that it may really help you feel that, hey, you know what, I've got something that is making a difference for other people here. And really, if you're more outwardly focused, I think you're happier with yourself.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, some of my favorite things every year are, you know, the downtown days, the downtown Main Street puts on every year. I love volunteering and working for that. My whole family, my son can't remember us not volunteering that weekend all weekend long and would get upset if we weren't doing it. I love, you know, being a crazy MC for Chili Fest every fall, every, you know, late summer or fall when that happens. You know, just those things, like it's being a part of something that's a little bit bigger.
The people
you meet too are amazing. I mean, I got voluntold into being a part of Downtown Main Street in probably 2011 when my old colleague Trisha Drape was the executive director. And she got me involved, and I've met some of my best friends
through that
organization, and just met great people who want nothing but to keep growing this incredible piece of our community. I mean, look, you talked earlier about the things that are on the pamphlet that draw. What are the pictures that are on the front of every pamphlet, every website about Lee Summit? It's downtown. It's our district.
It's our heart. Yeah.
It's the downtown district. It's the park. It's the schools. All those things.
No, I agree. I think that in general, you're not going to find an angry person that you don't want to hang out with by volunteering. You know, you're going to find positive people that you wish you would have discovered earlier in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to give you one last thing. I want to give you a chance to brag. In 22 years in City Hall, what are you most proud of? What is the thing that you look at and you're like, we did this?
Yeah, I mean, and we, let's put the word we in
it's
front
the
of
royal
it.
We.
Yeah, the we. No.
Right? It's the community. The
town. The community. The downtown. No, there's no question. I don't even have to stumble or wait or anything. It's being a part of seeing our downtown get revitalized, and being a part of that downtown master plan in 2004, adopting a downtown master plan to look 40 years ahead, and then seeing a lot of those things come to fruition, and now it has its own inertia, and plus, there are some great organizations that are making it happen. It's not only City Hall. I know it's also our downtown Main Street and many other people in Rotaries and just everything. But yeah, I would say that if I just had to just quit life and hang it up right here, I would, my last moments of my life, I'd be thinking about my lovely wife and how awesome downtown is.
Those are both good things.
Yeah.
Those are both good things.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for coming out here with some time to tell a few stories. Thanks for all your years running the bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. But now, out there as private citizen and volunteer, I appreciate it.
We're gonna have more fun together, Nick. It's gonna happen.
I'm gonna hold you to it.
Okay.
That'll wrap us up for this week. We'll talk to everybody next time.